Hi, this is again Volleyball Explained podcast, and with Nicola today we are going to talk about the big final in Italy, the classic between Trento and Lube, which was formed after the semifinals, respectively. Trento beat Piacenza and Lube beat Milano. Both matches ended in five games. So without further ado, of course, we can start with Trento, for obvious reasons, with Nicola. And my question to Nicola is, of course, what do you think about this semifinal? And did something... Nicola?
You hear me? Okay, sorry. Yeah. It disappeared everything.
Yeah.
Well, I have to be honest. After the first set of game five, I started having the same nightmares I had last year when Trento bottled two games lead against Lube in the semifinal. It was a pretty strange semifinal, in my opinion, not as high as the technical level, but very intense in basically three of the five games. Trento went 2-0 in the final with a great display in game one, but solid in game two, also helped by the incredible amount of errors of Piacenza between serving and attacking error. And then game three was something that made me think, here we go again. Trento wasted two big leads at the end of the first set and the second set in game three, ended losing the game 3-0. So I thought, okay, we will never make that step that could turn a solid team into a winning team. And game four was actually the mirroring what I was thinking, because there was no match, or better, there was match maybe for the first two sets, and then Piacenza comfortably won it. After the start of game five, again, the feeling were not that good, but then Trento, maybe for the first time under Lorenzetti, turn around a big game undisputedly. I mean, no way for Piacenza to answer the level of, let's say, grit that Trento put on display on the fifth game. And the good thing to me about this Trento is that every game basically had a different hero, let's call it like that, because La Via, this semifinal, has not been something you can count on, except for some, some lights in the dark, because both attacking and receiving hasn't been at the usual level. But Micheletto answered pretty well. Kaczynski was always Kaczynski, so you can count on him, even if just for one set a game is still put on display, a show on volleyball, and the highlights that the volleyball world has shown is shown some of the best play of a 39 years old player I think I've ever seen in my life. And then the two unsung heroes, maybe, of the game five, to me, are the two middle blockers, the two Serbians, because both Podrašan and Lisinac, for once, finally, they won the game against Simon. Because if Piacenza would have won the game, for the fourth consecutive years, Trento would have been eliminated in the playoff by the team of Robert Landi-Simon, that we know when he sees Trento in the playoff, it became something like Hulk, pretty untouchable.
Where do you think was the biggest advantage of Trento? Because if we take the players of both teams player by player, I believe that Piacenza has the advantage, at least on paper. And I would like here to quote the great Johan Cruyff. I believe it was Johan Cruyff's quote that, or not, I'm not sure. or probably Rigusaki, I'm not sure, but they were the favorites on paper, but fortunately football is played on grass. So on paper, things don't happen. They don't have any result in the end. So do you think that neutralizing Simon in most of the games was the key or something different?
Well, let's say I've got this feeling. Game three, the one that Piacenza won in Trento in that pretty, surprising way, was like the champions of Piacenza, especially Leal and Lucarelli, were thinking, we're not going to let this series end in three games and then go home in such a bad way. So I think that the biggest difference have been the performances of the outside hitters of Piacenza, because Trento, especially in the last two games, has been pretty good throughout the blocking and defensive plays, but not so exceptional in attacking plays. If I'm not wrong, the set they lost in game five, they attacked with 28%, just to give some numbers, but they pretty much had more presence on the ball, especially on the longer rallies that could decide a point, and as you know, that could turn the flow of a set, and if not a game. And unexpectedly, in my opinion, the most reliable weapon for Piacenza between all the series was Romano. Not because I don't trust Romano, or we all seen the progress he's made during the season, the first one as a starter, we have to remind it, but because I expected more from experienced players like Leal and Lucarelli. We also have to say that, in my opinion, the battle of setters has been clearly won by Sbertoli. Brizard, able of high picks and then very silly choices. Well, Sbertoli was more solid and he found a solution pretty much every time except for game four.
Yeah, and in my estimation, I would say that the biggest weapon of Piacenza in the series was their serve. Especially in the fourth match, I think very well. In the third game also, and both of the games, they won 3-0. That was not the case in game five. And when the serve was not working, they were struggling. I will be honest, because most of the matches I watched, the Civitanova, the Lube Milano matches, when it comes to is very strange how a team of that many good players is underperforming. I was trying to beat them in five games, but I would say that they should be more consistent in their performance, I believe. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially if you consider that if we take individually each player, they have played more games of this kind, let's say like that, more games like semifinals or finals than Trentino's players, because we don't have to forget that even if Lavia, Micheletto, and Ives Bertoli was part of the Italian national teams, for most of these players, they're not used Mattei, except Kaczynski, who's been in every final that probably existed in the world of volleyball, most of them wasn't used to play such a long series on that high level. While players like Lucarelli, Leal, Brizard himself, they've been there before at the national level and the club level. And I strongly agree with you when you were calling out the serving system of Piacenza. Piacenza is one of those teams that becomes unplayable when their serving is working. We've seen it during the Final Four in Coppa Italia, where they basically had half a point from service every three serves. While in this series, they've been very poor, and surprisingly, they made more aces in away games than the ones they played in Palabanca and Piacenza. Usually it's the other way around, because players has some points to aim. We know how they deal in their own arena. But there have been a lot of mistakes serving. They have not been able to be consistent in interceptions. And then Brizard, that in my opinion doesn't have exactly the cleanest sets in the world of volleyball, is a little bit, how can I say, rusty when someone's with some balls. Couldn't have a solid base to start the pass with the reception of Piacenza.
Okay, at the end of our comments about Trento and Piacenza, let's say that Matej Kaczyński is back in the final of Superlega after how many years? 7 years?
He wasn't there, I think, last year. Last year Trento played, no? In 2016,
I believe, against Modena.
Yeah, and the one against Lube in 2017, he wasn't there, right? He was
I don't think so. I believe he was in Japan and he didn't. Didn't like came back for the final. Yeah.
Yeah, that's but that would be a different final of the 2017, in my opinion. So we'll see.
Okay. It's not that important. Okay. Let's go to Lube and Milano. The series developed in a very, very curious, interesting, dramatic way, because Milano won the second and the third match, and they were leading 2-1 and having the home advantage before the fourth game, and they started 2-0 this game. They were just one set away from winning the semifinal and going into the final, but they didn't do it. They won just once and lost their home match, lost the away game in Civitanova, and Lube is in the final. And my question is, first question, which player does impressed you the most?
Of both teams?
Let's start with Lube, but because they're the winners, and of course you can say also about the Milano game, the Milano players.
Okay, well, Lube is pretty difficult to answer the question, honestly, because alternatively, both Jant and Nikolov played very good games, but in my opinion, is also thanks to the role that Zaitsev played, especially in reception, helping Alexander Nikolov being basically focused only on attacking, especially during game five. Then we also have to consider the level of the Checo, what is able to do with whatever balls comes around the court, because I saw some sets that were incredible. And when the player knows that your setter will be able to give you a decent ball almost every time, the confidence of the players and, of course, of the team is building. And that's could turn an entire game around, especially in game four, the one that Milano throw away, because up 2-0, they have to win the third set, but they they panic somehow, and then the big names of Lube start kicking him. Jant had a game that was unbelievable. In my opinion, I think it was the best game Jant probably had wearing a Lube shirt in his career. So I am not able to find out one name for Lube Civitanova. For Milano, I have the one name, and it's, of course, Ishikawa.
Yeah.
I don't
Ishikawa is impressive.
Yeah, he has played a series that was probably the step that convinced people about his level. He's always been a solid player, an all-around player, because it's difficult to say what's the best weapon of Ishikawa. He's a good server, he's a good attacker, he's reliable on reception. In this series, he's been pretty amazing all around and basically every aspect. And if Milano would have been in the final, if they would have been game winning, would have won game four and then went to the next round, that was basically all on Ishikawa.
I would like to go back to Lube. For me, the turning point in Lube was the moment when they switched to this new system with Zaitsev receiving and Alexander Nikolov playing as an opposite. That's because of two reasons. The first reason is that Zaitsev showed a very huge leadership. Because it's very tough for a player who is only attacking, playing as an opposite for that many years. I believe more than 10 years he's playing only an opposite to push their ego in the corner and take the responsibility. Alexander Nikolov is obviously having problems, issues with his receptions. For some people, the reason for that is that he has problems with the problems in terms of having diopters. He's playing, of course, with eye lenses, and in the beginning it was very strange when he was 14, 15. He was playing with some very strange. Which is really strange when it comes to volleyball court, because he started to join the Levski men's team in a very young age. Actually, he had matches playing with his father together on the court, which is very interesting. But this having not the responsibility to receive, he just thrived in those matches. I believe that against Verona, in the match they won, the third match, the match they won 3-0, he had 84% in attack without mistake, without being blocked. So 84 efficiency for an opposite or outside hitter is really, I would say, gigantic. And this happens once a season, if not more. And that was the turning point for Lube. And even though they lost two matches and Milano were very close, the problem, of course, is that still they have many young players. They have Nikolov, they have Jant, they have Botov coming as a reserve substitute. And that reminds me of something, because in the beginning of the season, or most of the season even, Blangini was trying to interchange. They were trying Jant and Nikolov, Nikolov and Botov and Jant. At the end, he understood that that just Jant and Nikolov has the qualities that actually are something more than Botov, with all due respect, of course, to what Mattia Botov can do.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Yeah, I totally agree. When Blangini had to start working with a new group of player, it was changing things on the court. Also because no one this season he doesn't have the pressure to reach the final. I mean, for Lube, it's a big achievement to play for the Scudetto once again, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, because they probably were the fourth favorite to reach the final. So Blengini had the time to find the best couple of outside hitter and then the best system to exploit the qualities of his players. And definitely Jantan Nikolov could bring something more than Mattia Bottolo especially in these last games. So they also start to build up a certain how can I call it, a certain connection also with the Checo, because in many times in the last few games of the regular season you saw that the Checo, who's not playing too much in the middle, was looking for Ivan Zaitsev a lot, and then the two young guys start kicking in, and especially as you mentioned during the series against Verona, they were more in the center of the game, also because you can easily see looking at the game that the Checo start trusting them. Even in the game they've lost against Alkbank, they were more involved than at the beginning of the season. So it was part of a process that led to this couple of outside hitters, and then with the movement of Zaitsev, let's say, to this attacking trio, regardless of which position they were actually playing, that is working very well for Lube so far.
And when it comes about Milano, I would say that there the problem was, especially in the fourth game when they needed him the most, the problem was that Patry was underperforming. And yeah, in the most important moments, they played with Margarejo. By the way, Margarejo is great. And I would say that Cuba will have the problem for having to choose two of three between Jant, Melgarejo, and Lopez, having, of course, Jesus Herrera as the opposite. So Cuba has this very good outside hitter and opposite squad. Chiaroni would say that they have the problem with the setter. And yeah, the libero. But let's wish them that they will fix it. But Milano is very interesting. They have this French style with playing very great, very good in defense, playing the second ball, the third ball if needed, covering the attack, another attack, another attack, another attack. And I don't know what is the reason behind this kind of play, because only French player, I believe. But of course, we know that Japan is with a French coach in the national team. So probably Blen has some kind of a influence over Ishikawa. But still very impressive. They beat Perugia, and there were just several points from beating Lube as well. So heads down, not heads, heads, but not, for what Milano
has achieved.
Milano did, yeah, because it was really impressive. I don't think anyone believed that in five games they could have beaten
Perugia.
And they did it, and they were just on the verge of doing it also against Lube.
And they also were 2-0 up in the semi-final in the Coppa Italia against Trento. So they shown during that season, during this season, how they capable of. But they paid the fact that they had less experienced player than the big teams. So I think that in a couple of years, Milano could legitimately fight for the titles in Italy.
And let's mention here that the rumors says say that next week and next season Matej Kazinski in Milano. And Patrice leaving, I believe, to play with Tognutti in order to prepare for the Paris 2024 Olympics. But they will take also Drlić, if the rumors are. So let's see what is going to happen. Let's add here that Milano will play actually Piacenza for the third place. I have no idea why this is going to happen, and then why then they need to play this probably for determining who will be third. But I believe in most of the leagues this is happening according to the ranking from the regular season, not in Italy. Of course, after they have the fifth match, matches for the fifth place, they will have also for the third place. But something we planned to comment on, as you name it, is the coaching roulette. Can you give some hints about what is happening? Because what we know for now is that the divorce between Trento and Lorenzetti is 100% sure that even if Trento wins the title, they will divide themselves and the contracts will be over. Anastasi is leaving Perugia, which is not surprising. Surprising. Soli is leaving Cisterna. I read something about Botti leaving Piacenza today. I'm not sure what is happening with Gianni. So, floor is yours, brothers.
Yeah, there have been a lot of news for the coaches and the top teams in the Superliga. As you said, Lorenzetti will leave Trento and will be replaced by Soli from Cisterna. And the most likely landing spot for Lorenzetti at the moment seems to be Perugia itself. That will be a huge upgrade, in my opinion, for the Gino Sirci's team. Gianni Modena will not be the coach next year, and the next coach in Modena will be Francesco Petrella, who is actually the second coach, the coach assistant of Lorenzetti in Trento. So it's a huge bet for Modena's management. It will be his first experience as a head coach, but he's younger. He has worked along, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the past 10 years, Lorenzetti, regardless of what he has, or better, what he has not won on Trento's bench. Then Blingini reaching the final, probably is sealing his place on Lube's bench for at least another season. And in Piacenza, they had to deal with something pretty unexpected. I mean, Piacenza is a team that has been built to win titles, and they actually did. They won the Coppa Italia with Botti on the bench, so it will be pretty difficult to part ways once again with Botti, because we don't have to forget that Botti was the coach that led Piacenza from the Serie A 2 to the Superliga four seasons ago, I don't remember exactly, and they parted way. So he didn't coach it in the first year in Superliga. And now he was back. He was as an assistant coach. When they sacked Bernardi, he took the main role on the bench. And they won the Coppa Italia. So they didn't get to the final because of one game. At the end, if you look at how the playoffs developed, was just one game that prevented Piacenza to play in the final. So that coach won a title and was one game shy to be in the final of the Scudetto. I don't know how they will handle this, because it's pretty clear that they will try to go to a higher level, especially if they confirm all the players on the roster. But the risk is that, how can I put it into words? Botti will be someone who has won, and you will replace with someone that you expected had more chance to win. But if it's not happening, how would we go? I mean, you'll parting ways with a coach that shown that if it players are playing at his best, if they're all healthy, it could reach what actually the management asks for, titles. So that would be a huge question mark, and I don't know how quickly they will solve this situation. The one and only coach in the big teams or new big teams that is pretty sure of his job is Piazza on Milan, of course, because there's no reason to change him, and they're building a good project, so I hope they will keep him for the next couple of years at least.
Okay, if we summarize for the top eight, the teams which are playing in the playoffs, we have what we have. The finalists, Lube Blangini for the new season. Trento, probably Fabio Soli.
Yeah.
What we have, Milano with Piazza, Piacenza, Botti, or someone different like Gianni?
I don't know. There's a problem with Gianni, because in Italy you can't coach a club if you are actually coaching a national team unless the team pay a huge amount of money to the federation. I think is 100,000 euros, I think, that for a volleyball team, even for a volleyball team with the money of Piacenza, is still a huge bite of money. So we have to count that Anastasi is still free, because out of Perugia.
Oh yeah, Anastasi also is,
so option. it's one of the option for Piacenza's bench, but we will see. I'm not sure about if I could tell you, in my opinion, who will beat, because every day there are new name and new chances.
Okay, Modena Petrarca. What we have more, Verona, of course, Rudostin Stoichev, and Perugia, Orinzetti probably. And what I'm missing, Monza.
Monza, it will probably Eccoli. I haven't heard rumor about it. Yeah. And it should be him, but we will know it in only when the first game of the new season will kick off.
Okay, and we can finish with some transfer rumors. When it comes to players, what we have for now is like we mentioned, Kaziski to Milano, Dirlec to Milano, to Hauptbank to be again together with Nimir, Sapochkov to Modena, Javornok to Verona, Magalini to Trento. What I'm missing for...
Rychlitsky.
Yeah, Rychlitsky to Trento. Yeah. And probably I'm missing something, but...
Lizinas will probably leave Trento. And the most likely replacement is Kozamernik. That's one of the rumors I've heard.
So one player will go to one, will be back. Back?
Yeah.
Did Kozamernik play in Italy? I believe he played, but I can't remember.
In 2018 in Trento. Yeah, he played in Trento. It was the pair with Eder this year.
Yeah, that was. I'm not that known. Okay, I believe that is quiet enough for today's podcast. Let's say that the final between Lube and Trento and Lube is starting on the 1st of May, Monday, on 18, 6 p.m. Italian local time. So the show
quarter
will
past
begin.
Six, actually.
Yeah.
Quarter past six.
Okay. I just remembered when I saw it is so strange because in principle they are 7 p.m. 6 p.m. or 8:30. So it was a little bit strange. And
it's due to the television.
Probably. The 1st of May, I don't know. It's a holiday. It's a holiday to you also.
Yeah, it's holiday.
Yeah. And we will be back with the podcast after the final matches. So we are going to comment then for what happened in the final between Lubin Trento, and of course it will be decided who will be the champion for 2023 in Italy. Until the next time, bye-bye.
Bye.